On? All right, I guess we're on. Okay, well, God bless you guys. Thank you for the warm introduction. Those manifestations were fantastic, especially with Al. He was talking about how God gave his only begotten son. We're going to look at that today. How God wants a relationship with us. We're going to look at that today. And it's all continuing to cover the topic that we have for this teaching series on giving. And that is such a fantastic topic. And before I begin, I just want to mention that I checked in with Katie Jeltema over the weekend, let them guys know, hey, we're praying for you, you know, be safe. And she got so blessed that, you know, we're like checking her out, making sure everything's okay with those guys. They're fine. So they have power, so that's a good. But they said they're getting a lot of rain, obviously. So anyway, they're doing fine. But anyway, Bob and Barney asked me to put a little teaching together and share a little bit about giving today, which I said, well, sure, definitely I can do that. So I put a little something together. I've been working on it for about 25 years now. And I get to share it in about 20 or 30 minutes, so that's always a challenge. But today we're going to look at something really, really cool. It's a topic I'll call the heart of giving. The heart of giving. And we're going to look at a section. We're going to start with the first verse is going to be John 3:16, which, as you know, it's the most popular verse in the Bible, right? It's probably the most quoted verse in the entire world. But let's take a look at John 3:16. And I want you to see a couple of key points here. I'm using my Bible today. I don't usually do this. My iPhone. So it might take me a little longer to get to places. We could probably just quote this anyway, but I want you to see this. So here is, we're going to see who the greatest giver is. And we're also going to see what the greatest gift was. And we're also going to see why it was given. So John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is the greatest giver. Okay? I'm sure we can all agree with that. And he gave his only begotten Son for us. Whether we knew it or not, that's why God gave his Son. And it was because he loved us. That's the why. When we understand the why God does the stuff, it really opens up like the book and we can go, oh, I got it. I want to read you the verse in the, what's it called? The Amplified Bible. So it says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. So here it says he greatly loved and his dearly prized world. I mean, it kind of just gets a little more emphasis, you know, I thought. But that is so cool. So, you know, God has many, many characteristics, right? I think the greatest one is his love, you know? But, you know, where does love reside in us? Here? I love you, man. Or is it here? I love you, right? It's here. That's where I want to get you guys to, is to see it in here. You know? We can love with our lips, or we can really love with our heart. But what really counts is loving with your heart, because that's where the action is. That's where the power is, I'll call it. Love energizes everything, no matter what. Love is the juice, right? And we want to love with our heart. That's how we want to love. So let's take a look at Romans, probably the second most popular spot. Romans chapter 10. Acts Romans. I think you all know where I'm going, right? But you're going to see this, you're going to go, aha! And you're going to be amazed. Romans chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 9. So this is how we all began, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's two words here, twice it's mentioned about the heart. That's the key in this verse, these two verses, right? When we get born again, this is what this is talking about. But take a look at that, where it says, if you believe in your heart. So if you don't believe in your heart, that's not enough. To say it isn't enough. You have to believe in your heart to receive what these verses are talking about, to receive the gift of Holy Spirit, right? You have to believe in your heart. That's where I wanted to point out to you. And we all know what happens when you get born again, right? You speak in tongues. That's the proof. That's the absolute, hands-down reason that we know that we know that we know, and no one can talk us out of it. Everyone agree to that? Speaking in tongues is the proof that God is in Christ and in you. So we are now children of God, right? We're not our own anymore. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and now we belong to the family of God. All of us. Everybody that confesses these verses automatically are now a child of God. Does it make sense? So now what? Now what do we do? You know, what do I do next? You know, what's expected of me? You know, we have a new nature now. We don't walk by the five senses anymore. We have the ability and the privilege and the joy of walking by the Spirit. We have Spirit, right? What's that? That's what that stuff's for. We don't have to walk by the five senses anymore. We don't have to wonder what to do in situations. We have this connection with God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that we can have some direction in our lives instead of just, you know, going by what we feel good about doing. Or, you know what I mean? We have some direction in our lives. So what's the most, I'm going to ask you all a question. What's the most important thing as a believer that they want to do in relationship with God? What's the most important thing you want to have in your life? Nobody's answering. I heard something back here about a relationship. Who said that? That's my point, you know? God wants us, and you heard it in the manifestations today, he wants us to have a relationship with him. What a crazy idea, right? God Almighty? That's what he wants. That's why he gave his only begotten son, so he can have a family. I know it's hard to understand. It just doesn't make sense to us, because we think, oh, God Almighty, and here I am, just a little Todd here, making my way through life and trying to figure things out. It's much, much bigger than that. So he wants to have a relationship with us. And how do we do that? We get to know God, first of all. We get to know God. And once we work on that, we have to work on trusting God, right? So how do you do that? How do you trust God? I know it's a broad question, but take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Again, familiar verses with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very familiar verse, very cool verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That sounds easy enough, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That might be a little trickier to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we can put our trust in God, and as we do that, there's a little thing that happens. He directs our paths. We get some understanding of what we're supposed to do, right? But here's that word again, heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's everything about you that is, that's it. Your entire being of trusting God is in your heart. That's where the rubber meets the road, I'll say, right? That's where the magic happens, you know? It's in the heart. You're going to see that with a couple of the verses. But we are to put our trust in God, and he's going to show us what to do. He's going to direct our path. That's what we all want, right? We want to know what to do. What's in store for Todd this coming year? What's in store? What would you have me to do, God? He'll tell us. We just have to ask and trust that he's going to tell us. And it says that he will. So we got this great relationship. We're children of God. We can put our trust in God. We can build a relationship with God. He's going to direct our path, right? He's going to show us what's going on, what to do, and he's going to take care of us. You know, God is going to take care of his kids. Just like, you know, when Shelly and I had Gabe and he was growing up, we took care of him best we could. You know, we had limits, obviously, but the same kind of relationship that parents have with their kid is the same kind of relationship that God has with us, that he wants to give us. So I'll take a look at James. Chapter 1, further back here. James chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 17. This is a characteristic of God. So 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. What's above? Well, God Almighty, right? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is God's nature. All the good stuff comes from God. And he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't feel one good one day and bad the next and you miss out because he changed his mind. You know, he doesn't work like that. Everything we have comes from the goodness of God to bless us, his kids, because that's what he wants to do. That's the nature of God. So what do? Well, we receive it, of course, right? We expect it, of course. We receive what God has in store for us. And let's take a look at a couple other things God has in store for us. Look at 3 John 2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's a nice verse. I like that verse. I like to prosper. I like to be healthy. God's in the business of giving. Let's get in the business of receiving, you know? He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Wish I had an iPad. That would be easier to do. thought about finding one for this teaching, but okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." That's pretty much get you what you need kind of thing, right? All things, all sufficiency, whatever it is that you need, God has the resources and the ability and the willingness to give it to you so you have what you need. That's kind of what that means. Do you believe it? Do you believe it right here? Or do you just believe it right here in your ears? We need to believe it in our hearts because that's where it happens. You know, as Christians, we look to God for everything. Whatever it is, whatever your need is, just like a little kid looks to his parents when they need something, they come up and run into mommy or daddy. Usually it's mommy, you know, but that's what a little kid does. That's what we do as little children of God. And we recognize the source of everything that we have. Everything that we've been given, whether you think you've earned it or made it yourself or, you know, by my works I've got this happening, and it's all because of God and because of God's goodness. We're just, you know, the recipients of God's grace and God's goodness. You know, we trust God for everything, big things and small things, and everything in the middle. Now, who went out to dinner Friday night? Drove their car and went to a restaurant and pulled into the restaurant parking, and there's no parking. What do? You ask God for a parking spot, right? Who does that? Parking spot. I mean, does God have time to find you a doggone parking spot? Come on. Yes, absolutely. That's just the little things. But to him, they're all the same size. There's no big ones, little ones. We put that in our minds. Getting you a parking space is no different than, you know, a miracle. It's all just good, you know. Let's take your job, for example. Who actually had to answer to prayer and say, "God, I need a job," and whammo, shlammo, you got yourself a job because of prayer? A lot of people did. You know, that's how God takes care of us. You know, we don't want to be in a place where we think we got all this figured out. You know, I got my degree. I worked hard for that degree. And by golly, that's how I got that job is, you know, I worked for it. I put a lot of time and effort into getting that degree. And yeah, you may have. But you think God had some kind of work in that plan maybe to get you into the door of that job? I think he probably did. You may not know exactly all the things that happened, but so as a result, you're employed, right? What happens when you're employed? You earn a paycheck, and that's a good day, you know, payday. I've learned a couple Mexican words recently. Dia de pago means payday. So payday, I'll tell everybody, dia de pago, and they think that's the funniest thing, you know, because I work with a bunch of Mexican guys. And, you know, it's fun. But, so, you know, God has unlimited resources, and he's not going to run out. So we don't have to be concerned with, you know, asking for too much because, you know, it's going to run out, you know, in a little while, and I need to save all that stuff for something I really do need, right? God is unlimitless. He is totally, it's like more resources than we can imagine, right? So, you know, God does ask us to do some things too. We just don't sit back on the couch and, you know, watch the paychecks roll in, right? There's responsibilities and there's things that he asks his kids to do. Take a look at Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs. Go back to chapter 3. I guess I don't need to say keep your finger there because you don't have Bibles. So Proverbs, remember hearing that though? Proverbs chapter 3 again. So there's some things we have to do that God asked us to participate in. We're going to look at verse 7. So Proverbs 3, verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Verse 8. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So there's something we got to do. We have to have what I call a giving heart, because that's where the stuff happens. As we trust God, it's in the same chapter here, as trusting God with your heart, your whole heart. As you do that, God's showing you what to do. And he asks you to do a couple things. And what happens when you do them? So let's just review that room one more quick time. It says, it all starts with verse 7 where it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Meaning, I got this figured out. I know how this works. Right? That's wise in your own eyes. Well, God is much, much smarter than us, even collectively. Would you agree? So there must be a good reason this stuff's in here. You know, it's a spiritual walk. We don't necessarily understand all the ins and outs and maybe all the parts that go with it. But we are to put our trust in God, and he asks us to do a couple things and not do a couple things. So don't put your trust in your own eyes. And as you continue to walk with God, he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase." Well, how did you get increase? You worked for it. Well, how did you get the job? God gave it to you. We get everything from God, right? I don't think you're here, no, and in the room at all. So that's great. We like God to help us out and give us stuff, and because he just wants to bless us. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, God is totally unlimited. Our minds are limited. Sometimes so much limited that we don't think it's possible for God to do that. But he doesn't have that issue yet. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Again, these are all familiar verses. I just wanted to bring some of these up to show you the heart in this topic. Verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also..." Let me start over. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And take a look at verse 8. Here's the result. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." All things. All sufficiency. Well, that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? But these are just some of the things that God asks us to do. Trust God. Give of your first fruits, all of your increase, you know, that portion that you got to increase in. And how to do it? With a cheerful heart. Not grudgingly, like you don't want to let it go. You know, when we feel like we don't want to let it go, that's because we feel like we're not going to get any more. Remember the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness, and the manna came down from heaven, and God said, go out and gather up what you need, which they did, and they said, don't get any more than you need, because it's going to get worms, it's going to stink the next day. Well, what do you think they did? There's a few that out there that just thought they're going to run out and they want some more for tomorrow, and they gathered more, and guess what? That's exactly what happened. But that's not the attitude we need to have. It's just trying to not let that go, you know? Because God's unlimited in his resources. So take a look at James. James. We're going to take a look at chapter 1, verse 22. It says, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word only works when we do it, not when we talk about it. Agree? You can talk till you're blue in the face and go, yeah. But until it's here, that's where it happens. When it's in your heart, just like when you're believing for, you know, to get born again. It's the same stuff. That's where the power is. Believing the word is where the power is. You know, we don't get to pick and choose the verses that apply to us, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. We don't get that choice. This is what the word says, whether we like it or don't like it. This is the word. And we just need to adjust our thinking to agree with it, right? So it's all for our benefit. It's really kind of cool how God has all that worked out. So we want to put these, you know, they're familiar verses. We've seen them before. You know, we want to take these verses that deal with, you know, giving, and take them out of here and put them in here in our hearts. Because that's where it happens. We can trust God. I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't have any doubt that God's going to provide whatever it is that you need. We can trust God 100%. You know, just like the believing that you had when you said, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10 about believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That same believing, if we can put that stuff in your heart with these verses, you're going to see miraculous things. You know, I love you guys. That's why I'm sharing this stuff with you. You know, Dan, I love you. You know, I love you guys. And God wants the best for us. We are God's best, right? So let's take God at his word and put this to the test, I'll say. You know, and we can do this. We can have a generous, giving heart. We can trust God with all of our being. And we cannot lean unto our own understanding when all the circumstances pop up and say otherwise. When the math doesn't work out, it's because that's five senses. We are not controlled by the five senses because we are children of God. We walk by the Spirit, right? Not the five senses. Doesn't matter if it doesn't add up. It's not going to add up. I'll tell you right now, it doesn't add up. Why do I give? I'm going to have less. You're right. It doesn't add up. That's because you can't answer a natural question you can't answer a spiritual question with a natural man answer. It doesn't work. That's the beauty of walking by the Spirit, trusting God, believing God for anything you have need of, you know? So, you know, this teaching would not be complete if I didn't offer you all a gift. Something to help you remember what was shared today. Something unique. You know, I could hand out a syllabus or a worksheet on the verses, but I want to do something unique, something different. Something you remember what took place today. And it's just a small little something. It's a gold coin. And although it's just a gold coin, it's not real gold, it's just color gold, by the way. Don't get excited. But with this, I want you to think about what took place today. And this can represent God's goodness, God's abundance, God's grace, and it can be an example of how to trust God and not rely on our own two cents, you know, so to speak, our own senses, and we can really put God at his word, you know? So I got a few of these for you guys. You can grab one if you like, and I'm going to grab this, Barney, pass them around. But that's what I wanted to share with you guys today, is trusting God to the point where it's in your heart. Just like Romans 10, 9, and 10, that the believing part, when you got born again, that same believing you can put into God's gracious abundance to us, you know? So that's what I want to share with you guys tonight, today. And thanks, Barney, for the opportunity to speak the word. Thanks, you guys. Mm-hmm.